Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
All right. Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Choate and I'm grateful and excited to be back here, not in the studio, but because we record from home, but with Mark Johnston, our head marriage coach. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing much better. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what you told everyone, but yes, I had been sick, very sick for a while. And then Heather was gracious enough to cover things. So yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, we're grateful that you're doing well in your family and appreciate everyone's care and prayers and good energy that you sent over to the Johnston family. So thank you for that. We definitely appreciate it and recognize that. So we hope that you're doing healthy and well as you're listening to us today. Today we're going to talk about love or manipulation, how to understand the difference if you have a spouse that you feel like is manipulative, or if you feel like you tend to go into some areas of manipulation, then this is definitely going to be for you. So if you feel like, you know, you need to up the emotions or perhaps escalate things in order to make sure you get what you need, then we want to see where that's really coming from and how to do things in a healthier, better way. And especially about what to do if you feel like your spouse is in any form of manipulation, as well as what kind of normal levels of manipulation might look like in your relationship. So we're going to dive deep into that and then show what the healthiest, best way is to handle that and how to move into that. So before we get to that, though, we're going to share a client win of the week. I'll go ahead and share this one if that's all right. This one comes with permission from Christina. She has a couple wins here. So win with a big high five. My husband was able to talk to Mark last week, and we have a couple's appointment on Tuesday. And then when he texted me today and suggested we meet at my family's house to hang out and go swimming. Before he left, he asked if we could talk. It went well, and he brought up moving back home next weekend. He told me he loved me twice and hugged and kissed me. So Mark, I know you've worked with Christina. She talks about, you know, her husband finally able to talk with you. Where was Christina before she joined? What were things like in her marriage?
Christina's husband was ready to leave. Like he was saying, we're not going to be back together. This is the end. So this is a situation that really turned around. I remember talking with Christina, and she's like, you know, she was very happy, very excited about the turnaround. She, you know, I don't want to toot our own horn, but she's like, you know, she told me that she didn't think that she could have done this without our program.
Yeah, it's awesome. So husband said he's done, he's leaving, he's completely checked out to being able to be willing to work with us here and in the sessions, working with his wife, Christina, and even saying that he loves her and hugs and kisses and moving back home, which is incredible progress.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Like, I want to point out here that, like, this is not the end of, like, this is the beginning of, like, needing to work through more things. But it's certainly a huge milestone for many people when when your husband or wife is saying that they're done and now they're ready to work on the marriage again. So, yeah. I just wanted to point that out. This doesn't mean that everything's fixed.
Exactly. Yeah, as Mark and I work with clients, we look for a couple, like, markers or milestones. We kind of look at this arc of a relationship journey from the point where they're saying, I'm done, I don't want to be with you, we're already separated, I want a divorce. And then the first thing that we look for with our path process is kind of the pause button, that they're no longer pushing for divorce anymore. They kind of just pause. And last week I talked a little bit about there's power in that pause. So if your spouse hasn't yet hit the pause button, then there's something that you can do that you haven't been doing yet. And we can show you exactly what that is to help your spouse hit that pause button. Then from there, as we create more understanding, we make things safer, then we start to create more comfort and security in the relationship, and they're actually going to want to spend more time with you. And then getting to the point, like Christina is here, where your spouse is actually willing to work on things with you. They're wanting to resolve some of the deeper root issues. And then, of course, from there, we go to the last step, which is where they let their story go completely about you. And now you're both committed and willing to work on things and unified together. All right, so let's go into manipulation. I know that when I do masterclasses, and I typically do one about every week, we talk about one of the first things to stop doing if your spouse is pulling away is manipulation. It's one of those three or four that we talk about. We talk about manipulation. We talk about making demands, putting pressure on them that they need to fix the marriage. We also talk about begging, pleading, or freezing and doing nothing because you're not sure what to do. But sometimes we step into manipulation. And you might be manipulating, trying to get your spouse to come back to you, and maybe your spouse is manipulating you. So just from a broad sense, Mark, what is manipulation? What are we really talking about?
Well, I feel like this is one of those terms that is so charged and can at times be used inappropriately. Like I'll hear other words like this in terms of like describing a relationship. Like they might say, okay, my husband or wife is such a narcissist, or they're gaslighting me, or and there are these huge charged terms. And I'm not saying that those things don't happen, but I will say that I think that the terms are used too freely in many cases. Because like if you're saying my husband manipulates me, well, that gives like a really dire sort of picture of the situation. But like, I do think it's a very broad term, and if we had to kind of define it generally, I would say it's one, within a relationship, one partner forcing their choices on the other partner without regard for how it will affect that person. So it's, it looks like it can look like a lot of different things, but it's generally those points there. Even that definition, I don't think is really super adequate, because that can be on a very small scale and relatively not needing attention, all the way up to like really unhealthy situations where like it's borderline or is actually abuse. And, to have that same term describe both those situations, like a relatively healthy relationship where occasionally like, there's some unhealthy interactions and some light amounts of manipulation. It's very, very different from that other situation. So, I thought like, maybe we could give some more specific examples. I thought, that would probably be a good direction to go here. And once again, I want to point out, this is a spectrum. And, if you say, okay, I'm seeing that in my marriage, this is manipulation, and you're like, I need to exit this immediately, I think that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, hey, if you're seeing some of these things, it warrants looking at it closer. So more specifically, I would see, if we're creating guilt or other negative emotions in order to get your way, that would be some form of manipulation. Like as an example, if you ask something of your partner and you start saying, well, don't you love me? Why can't you do this one small thing for me? Don't I matter to you? If you're trying to create that guilt in your partner, that's some manipulation. It's that, going back to the broad term, it's forcing choices without regard to how it will affect the other person. And it's a focus on self. Or if they or you are blaming the other partner for things that that the blaming partner is responsible for. If you're withholding, withholding affection, withholding sex, withholding communication, or engaging in punishing behaviors, I would call this manipulation. This does not mean that I'm trying to be very clear here. Like, I don't want to describe all this as manipulation. So, as a note, this does not mean that if your partner and you are fighting and they don't want to talk to you, that they're manipulating you. That's not what I want to imply. I would also want to say that if there's a lot of comparisons to other people in order to coerce you, or you're trying to use that to coerce your partner, as for example, if you're saying, well, our friends would have no problem doing this, why can't you? My friend's wife lets him go out whenever he wants. Why are you such a stick in the mud? Like, once again, like some of these are like, some examples are on the more extreme end of the scale, and some of them are very light. I think there's a huge difference between the different ends of the spectrum. But I'm just saying, these are some things that you might want to look at and examine more closely, ideally with a professional, if you're seeing some of these things.
Agreed. So we had just put out an email yesterday, and we put out a couple signs that maybe you're dealing with a manipulator in your marriage. And you can also take this to ask yourself, you know, am I also maybe doing some of these, manipulating in more unhealthy levels, more like extreme levels of manipulation, right? And it, like Mark talked about, but you know, are you slowly isolated from friends and family? Or are you slowly isolating your spouse from friends and family? Are they trying to improve you, to change you? Are you trying to improve them or change them at an unhealthy level? We always want our spouse to grow and improve and change, but are they trying to like force change upon you? Are you trying to force change upon your spouse, right? Are they overly competitive with you? Are you overly competitive with them? Do they like to complain, seek sympathy, kind of that guilt, like you need to do this, like Mark was talking about, that victimhood, a little bit of that passive aggressiveness? Or do you do that as well to your spouse, right? Punish you with silence, that's a withdrawal, right? Punishing you by withdrawing sex or any other emotional need, doing it out of punishment. Like, you did this to me, so now I'm going to get back at you and I'm going to do this to you, right? Another way to look at it is if the rules are only theirs. Like, I get to do this, but you don't. If there's any really imbalances there about really controlling and justifying their own behaviors while limiting what you can do, or if you're also doing that to your spouse, right? If they believe that they're just perfect and you're not, they're constantly putting you down, or you're constantly putting them down. So those are some ways to kind of assess to see, is this gotten to a very unhealthy level here, to the point where we really need to look at this. And one of the things when you know, your spouse is pulling away, we tend to get desperate and we tend to really scramble to try to get them back. And I hear a lot of people, and I'm sure Mark, you've heard the same, of these different, they could be passive aggressive threats, or they could be straight out in your face. Like, if you do that, if you go sleep with that person, or if you don't end this affair, then I'm going to go sleep with whoever I want to sleep with, right? Or if you don't come back to me, then I'm going to take the kids. And sometimes they literally take the kids and don't talk to the spouse. And you know, unfortunately, we've dealt with some of those situations where they take the kids and, you know, then you've got one of those custody situations, or anything like that. I'm going to ruin your credit. I'm going to wreck you financially. These different threats and these different manipulations. What we're trying to do if we do that, right, is we're trying to get our spouse to come back to us, like to step away from the threat and make us seem like a better option than going through all that. But does it ever really work? No, it never works. Like, it always backfires. And I also want to just do a little check in here. If it did work and your spouse does come back to you because you manipulated them or threatened them, is that really what you want? Is that really a relationship built on a healthy foundation? Or are you just getting what you want out of control? And is it ever going to feel really secure?
That is an excellent question. I just want to say, everyone pay attention to that question right there, because that's very, very important.
Yeah. Just to pull back the curtain here, you know, I've been working with a client, I'll name his, change his name to Brian, but he was manipulating and was, you know, like taking off with their son and saying, you know, I'm not going to, you know, she's like, where are you texting? And he's like, I'm not coming back tonight. Where's my son, Jordan, or whatever, you know? And they're like, I'm not going to tell you. And so these kind of manipulation tactics were going on, and we had to look at that and like, where is that really coming from? Is it where you really want to be? Is it going to backfire? And if she comes back to you right now, is that what you really want in the relationship? You know, if she actually does come back to you because you're doing these things, is that actually going to make you feel better long-term? Is it going to be a healthy foundation to build upon? Yeah. So let's go a little bit deeper into understanding some types of manipulation, because not all manipulation is the same, right, Mark? What do we see as far as this spectrum there?
Well, it's exactly what we've been talking about. Like, it's a very, very different situation if, like, occasionally you try to convince your spouse to do something that you would like to do. I think we've all seen this. Like, you know, There are some activities that I prefer that my wife doesn't, and vice versa. I watched a like B grade chick flick with her last night. That wasn't my necessarily preferred activity, but she's like, "Hey, I would really like to watch this with you." And this was fine for me because like my relationship with Jennifer feels balanced. And even though my wife didn't really consider whether I really liked it or not, like what we were talking about, are you trying to force your choices on someone else without regard? She didn't ask me whether I really wanted to, because in our relationship we have an assumption that if we really don't like it, we'll speak up. I wanted to spend time with my wife. What I'm getting at is that was some small amounts of manipulation that I'm perfectly fine with in my relationship. It's very different than planning out how you're going to make them feel guilty if they don't do what you want. It's very different from I'm feeling upset and I'm gonna really let them know I'm not gonna speak to them unless they are like begging and pleading to be forgiven. Those are very different circumstances. And in our experience, I would say very few people really purposely go about this and try to manipulate their partner. Maybe I'm being naive, Heather. I don't know what you think. Maybe I'm like naive and I'm thinking the best in people, and but I don't think like most people view themselves as this like conniving, manipulative sort of person. They're not trying to be, at least. I think
Right,
that more
exactly.
often it's a result of feeling unable to address their needs in more direct or healthy ways. And I think that's, by and large, what most manipulation is about. I don't know. What
I
do you think? Like,
agree.
do you think that?
Yeah. Client Brian, he didn't even realize that this was actually manipulation. He's just like, I want my wife back. I want my family together. And his intentions are good. Like he's wanting security and he's wanting also to help her understand how he feels. He's saying, hey, you can go off for the weekend, but I can't. So I'm going to go off and disappear on you, those kind of things. And so to him, it didn't, he didn't realize that it was actually manipulation. He was just trying to get his needs met. He didn't have a healthy way of communicating to her, this is really hard for me. I really want us to be secure. It's really hard for me when you leave and I don't get to leave, so different things like that. And so, because he didn't have a more direct or healthy way, like we're going to talk about how to do here in a minute, then you tend to scramble trying to get your needs met. We feel hollow, we feel insecure, we feel fearful, and that leads us to become very reactive. And we aren't often aware of where that's really coming from. And your spouse, if they're doing this, they may not also be aware of where it's really coming from. It also may have been modeled to them. Maybe they were, we talk about the drama triangle a lot. And, several weeks ago, we did an awesome podcast on that. I encourage you to go back and listen to that if you haven't. But, just a brief, overview there is that we're just trying to get our needs met. We just tend to step in some really unhealthy roles and some really unhealthy patterns because we don't know any better for most of us. And so really giving yourself some grace and even some grace and understanding to your partner that there's most likely some hurt there. There's most likely some fear there. There's most likely some unhappiness or unfulfilled needs. And so when we come from that place, we can be like, okay, what really is the need being wanted here? What is really the feeling here, and how can we both meet it in a healthy way? So we'll get into that part later. But we talked about like the spectrum, right, Mark? Like we've got this broad realm of really unhealthy drama triangle, super controlling, manipulative, and then more of just like lighter patterns that we tend to have with our spouse as well. So do you feel like anyone or any couple is really immune from manipulation, any manipulation?
I am going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say I don't think any couple is immune from this. I consider like myself very aware of how I interact in my marriage, and I'm going to say that I probably do some small amounts of manipulation. As in, I'll give an example. Like if I am feeling upset with my wife, I might go quiet. And I won't want to speak with her. And what I'm saying in my head, I'll be very transparent here. I'll say, why do I have to be the one to fix it this time? Why do I have to be the one that goes and is calm first and apologizes first? I'm going to wait till Jen comes to me and says something and tries to fix it with me this time. And I'm just going to flat out say, that's manipulation. Because I'm like, I'm not going to speak to her. Nah. This is like, and what I'm getting at here is like, I not to pat myself on the back, but I think I have a very good, healthy relationship where Jen and I communicate on many, many things very well. And yet it still comes out. It's certainly not like an extreme. I remember inadvertently, like I have like people in my personal life come to me and talk about their relationships because they know what kind of job I have. But we had some friends of ours that were going through some issues, and the wife came and she says, can you believe so-and-so? He told me that I couldn't go out unless I had sex with him. And it was my night to go out. And so he just said, I'm going to leave you with the kids. I'm just going to walk out. And what are you going to do then? And I was like, oh my goodness. That is just like that was, what I'm getting at here is like, here are these blatant, this is huge contrast, because eventually my wife and I, if I'm silent, I will go and talk to her and I will make things right. And so like we work things out. And versus like this, you know, I think she followed up with us some weeks later, and that issue was never resolved. And it just sat there and built up a ton of resentment. And like, I think she even used the word manipulation here. He was manipulating me to, yeah, like, I don't think anyone's immune. I think it's mostly where are we at on the spectrum? What about you, Heather? Like, do you see stuff like this?
Oh, absolutely. So I'll give an example like of more of the healthier side, but this was when I kind of pushed it a little bit. So for my birthday, I wanted to go to a meditation retreat, and I really wanted Ben to go with me. And I knew he probably wouldn't be so interested in spending an entire week at a meditation retreat. That's not something he would normally be like gung-ho about, you know? So I used it as my birthday, and I made this request, hey, for my birthday, can that be my present that we go together? So I used that as like a little bit of a leverage point, because I know he loves me and wants me to have a happy birthday. And he was like, yeah, that's a big ask, but I'll do it. And so, you know, that was a little form of like, I really wanted to get something. And so I kind of used the birthday angle to get what I wanted. And he actually ended up enjoying it and getting a lot out of it. But it wouldn't have been his first choice. So that's an example of kind of, you know, something I'm like, you know, it's a give and take. And then for your birthday, we get to do what you want, right? So we have that balance there. But it was a little manipulative, you know. I was like, he's not going to say yes. Otherwise, he's going to say it's too expensive, it's too much time, and I'm not interested. So I kind of used that to get what I wanted. And I feel like that's totally fine with where we're at right now. If you really didn't want to go, like Mark, you said, I, you know, we have the ability to say, nope, that doesn't work for me. That's not a win for me. And then we would have compromised and found something that was good for both of us. But that's an example. We also have more of the unhealthy side. Definitely, you know, being really transparent, where finding out, you know, there was something I had said 7 years ago that Ben was really hurt about, but we didn't have the ability to communicate. Well, we did. We just didn't know how to communicate in a healthy, direct manner. And so he harbored that inside of himself for 7 years. And did some of the more passive aggressive withholding intimacy, withholding connection, kind of keeping me at bay until finally we broke through this last year on what was actually going on there for 7 years. That is a long time. And I told him, you know, I don't even honestly remember saying that. And if I, you know, if we had been able to talk about it, we could have had such a better, closer relationship. That was a heavy price to pay. 7 years of being punished, and he thought I was getting the message and remembered what it was and that he was teaching me something and that I needed to change or come back to him. That was a really unhealthy level, and it was painful to realize that. It was painful to go through that. And so, wow, we've come to a much better place now that we're like, when we feel that sting of ouch, that really hurt me, we need to be able to have a way to talk about those things directly to understand each other's needs and never go into any form of punishing you and I'm manipulating you and I'm withholding you from things from you to try to get you to change or try to get how I'm feeling. We just need to have what we're going to talk about here in a little bit. So I'll leave the dot, dot, dot. But because we've been able to learn those healthier ways of going about things, things have completely changed in our relationship, which has been really great. So yeah, that's a little bit of experience there. What about some clients? What are some other really extreme examples that we may have seen, Mark?
I have seen direct, you know, it's not uncommon for me to see direct threats, as in, do not talk about this or else I'm going to leave you. So that's a direct response that I've heard even recently in response to discovering an affair, as in, we're going to put this behind me. You don't get to talk about this with me about what happened or else I'm just going to simply leave. And like immediately, like when I heard this statement, like all these alarms are going off in my head and I was like, okay, that's, oh my goodness, what's going on here in this relationship? Because in that same relationship, I mean, they were saying, let's move forward. We want this to work, except we can't talk about the elephant in the room and that there was an affair and that, this person who was cheating kept revisiting the affair and kept saying, we're going to draw a line. You don't get to talk to me about this. So like things like that, or, you know, on a milder level, I've seen with clients like, okay, my partner's upset with me. I'm going to have to sleep on the couch tonight. Things like a little bit more mild, but what we're getting at here is that it exists in many relationships. I would say in most all. I'm not going to say every single one because maybe there's like some super person out there who has it so much better together than I do, and it's entirely possible. But I would say most every relationship has some level of this. But the question then becomes like, okay, if this exists in most relationships, why does it exist? What's going on here? I don't know. What do you think, Heather? Like, what is causing it if it's so mostly universal?
I think it goes back to what we touched on, that we just don't have any healthy way of expressing how we're feeling or getting our needs met and being able to make requests. And like we said, when we feel like we aren't getting our needs met or we have very strong emotions, then we tend to scramble to try to get something met. We feel, again, really hollow or really empty or really fearful, right? So yeah, I think that's where a lot of it comes from, is we don't have a healthy way about getting these needs met. And why it's unhealthy is it has a tendency, right, to disregard the other person's feelings, how the manipulation might be impacting the other person.
I think,
and so like, as you see that, right there,
oh, I'm sorry, finish your thought, and then I want to, I'll make a comment.
Well, I was just going to say, like, what do we see happens when we're in that kind of a state? Like, what do we see, you know, we've worked with so many, you know, couples and clients now, what really happens when we have a tendency to disregard how the other person feels or how the other person is going to be impacted by this?
Yeah. So like the point that you made right there, I think to me is the line where it becomes, where we decide what's healthy and what's unhealthy. It's this line of like, is there regard for how these choices will affect the other person? And if there's a lot of resistance to that, which we do see with really unhealthy couples, there's resistance to considering the partner. Even if, like, you know, at some point in the future, if there is that consideration that comes back, then I would say that that's a relatively healthy scenario. But it's this line, is there that regard for your partner? If not, then I would say that this is much more clear manipulation. We could call it other things. We could call it disrespect or disregard, a lack of consideration. I mean, there's other components to it, but I think this is the line of health versus unhealth in this spectrum. But it does, like you're asking here, what happens here is it does tend to create a situation where one partner starts to feel less than or not as good, that their choices or opinions are less valid or important. And I'm going to be honest, I see a component of this I would say with about 75% of our clients. Like, this is somewhere in here, a complaint somewhere that I don't feel like my choices are heard or considered. A lot of clients, a lot of people coming our way where things are starting to fall apart. What are we trying to accomplish with this? Like, what are people trying to do through manipulation? I think we started touching on this a little bit in the discussion. What do you think, Heather?
Yeah, we're trying to ask things that are wanted, right? But we don't have a healthy way of doing that. And so we tend to slip into these more unhealthy things. Like, some examples would be, you know, maybe you want more physical affection, sexual affection. And so you maybe punish them emotionally because you know they want emotional affection. You know, so if they don't provide that, then you're going to step into the punishing or the withdrawal mode yourself. And then, of course, that tends to create cycles where that perpetuates, right? Then we withdraw from each other, and then they withdraw, and we continue to do this really unhealthy dance, right? Maybe if you're wanting more time with your partner, and so you sabotage plans with their friends, and you're not really thinking about how this is going to affect your partner. You're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about, I want time with you, and so I'm going to guilt trip you, or, you know, flat out going to sabotage plans or get involved in any way, right? So those are just some examples there where you're trying to accomplish getting your needs met, but it's really not a healthy way of going about it.
I've actually directly seen that second one, like sabotaging plans with friends. I've seen it where the example I gave earlier, like, I'm going to leave you with the kids so that you can't even go out. I've even seen it where, like, they don't pass along messages about what the plans are with friends, or, you know, like, changes in plans. I've seen that happen, which I would say is still manipulation. If you're, you know, if you're purposefully trying to prevent things from happening so that you get what you want. So, I mean, we've kind of defined a lot of things. We've defined, okay, here's this big spectrum of manipulation. We've kind of given a lot of examples on the healthy end. We've given examples on a more extreme end. So what do we do about this? They're like, what do we actually need instead? We've talked about even what manipulation is trying to accomplish. So it seems like there should be like a clear, healthier way to accomplish those things.
Yeah, like we talked about, stepping out of that drama triangle and those unhealthy patterns, the dot, 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 we're getting to that right now. So what it really comes down to is what we call clear agreements. And that is composed of basically three parts, right? So the first part is clear requests. And we've talked about that in the Drama Triangle podcast as well. But making sure that there is an ability to directly communicate what is wanted. Okay, and that's a big thing to learn how to do. It's something that we aren't really taught. And when we can actually do this well and say, here is how I feel, and here is what I would like to see. Now, how do you feel about it? What would you like to see? And then that goes into clear accommodations, right? Making sure that if there are requests, there is appropriate support for your partner to fulfill that request, right? And that's where we can, depending on the health of the relationship and what the situation is, where we kind of work together as a team when we say, okay, so you're feeling like I spend too much time with my friends and you want me to spend more time with you. Okay, how can I accommodate that? Where is the give and the take? How can we work together as a team so that you feel appreciated and supported and like I want to spend time with you, right? That's where we go into that. And then the third part is clear boundaries, which is a clear understanding of where the lines are in the relationship, okay? And how we can protect the relationship so that it can be safe and secure and nourished and grow, where both partners feel like they are respected and feel like their needs are being met.
Now, I feel like even a discussion of boundaries could warrant even multiple podcasts, multiple discussions on how to go about boundaries correctly. But I just want to kind of even give an example, even from a conversation that I had earlier today. I was talking with a client and saying, okay, like, hey, you're feeling, in this case, she was feeling overwhelmed with a lot of responsibilities. And I said, okay, well, what prevents you from going to your husband and saying, hey, I need some help? And she's like, well, I guess I could do that. And already, like, with that tone, I was like, something's preventing that. You know, like, you don't hear a tone like that, like, I guess, you know, it was pretty easy for me to guess. She's tried this before and hasn't worked. And I asked her about it. She's like, well, yes. When I go and talk to him, he kind of dismisses it. He doesn't, you know, he's busy. He has other things to do. He'll get to it in a minute. Or, you know, essentially, when I asked her about how that felt, she's like, well, it feels like she felt dismissed, and she felt like she couldn't go and ask him for things. Like, we're not going to pretend like, hey, just make a clear request, negotiate with your partner. It's all good. I think, like, a lot of times why it gets to this point of manipulation is because there's some patterns in the relationship that prevent some of these steps. In this case, she didn't feel like she could make requests to her partner. I know one of the things that has been a complaint is that, you know, there's a high amount of emotion in the relationship, and I'm trying to recall if this was specifically an issue. I think it was. Where, like, she recognized that maybe she used her emotions sometimes to get what she wants. Don't, you know, like, I don't know if this person is listening. I feel like I've been sufficiently vague, but don't quote me on that. But I seem to recall that that was an issue as well. But this is what I'm getting at. We can see how manipulative tactics show up when there are blocks to these steps here. We could easily say, okay, well, if she needs support, you know, where does he need support so that he can provide support? You know, like, where are these accommodations so that he can show up? But, you know, once again, there are blocks, and this is why I do think that this is not just a simple issue that you can be like, okay, I'll be a little bit more direct, I'll be a little bit more clear, and everything will be solved. I think there are many cases where this needs a professional attention and needs some professional help. It just does. I don't know, Heather. I mean, you've talked about this yourself, and you said I know you're familiar with this principle. Like, what do these clear agreements, what do they do for a relationship?
Oh yeah, they're so powerful. So instead of like my husband like being really upset for 7 years and trying to punish me about something that I said, we make a clear request. Hey, when you said I feel, you know, when you said that I felt this way, and I would like to, you know, treat each other with more kindness and gentleness and respect than that, right? That would be a clear request that could have been made 7 years ago that could have prevented all of that heartbreak and, you know, withdrawal and distance and really unhealthy patterns. I'm thinking about a client. I'll name her Jules. Jules is wanting separation or divorce, but is kind of on the fence and is using this to try to get needs met because she feels like her husband doesn't listen to her unless she's threatening him in some way. We hear this a lot. Like, you just don't pay attention to me. I've been telling you for years, and my requests to you, or it might not even be clear requests, but my nagging or my complaining or my telling you this or my shouting at you about this, or, you know, my sobbing to you about this, you haven't responded. And so I feel like I have nothing left but to say I'm out, and then you listen to me. And so sometimes this becomes hard for the person that's saying they're wanting to leave to let that go because they don't trust that their needs are going to be met unless they're threatening their partner in some way to leave or to go be with someone else. And so when we recognize that this is a manipulation, that you're doing this because, yeah, you asked for things in the past from your husband and he didn't listen, he didn't do it, he didn't work with you on the kids, he didn't help you fill with this, and you know, and that's where you guys are at. But now, you know, we talked about some of those underlying issues, and I think that's what's so powerful about what we do. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again because I think it just illustrates it really powerfully. But you can't read the label when you're inside the bottle. And we're all almost always inside the bottle of our own relationship. We don't have the perspective to see all the different dynamics going on here, all the different root issues, and all of that. And so that's why we come in because we're the experts that can read the label on the bottle and we can say, okay, yep, this is going on. This is going on. Let's talk about where that came from. Okay, here's what's needed to prescribe this situation and to help both of you move into some healthier patterns here. And now that she's able to say things like, you know, like the nagging about the not helping with the kids and stuff. I'm like, did you ever say it to him like you just said it to me about what you actually really want? She's like, no. No, I never did. It was always yelling. It was always nagging. It was always complaining and then just shutting down. And now me saying I'm leaving because you're not listening to me. So now she's learning this new skill of how to make some clear requests. And it's powerful. And then we're building up the other element of those clear requests, that there's accommodation being made and that there's boundaries being set in place as well. Just a touch, little bit of a side, we talked about boundaries, right? A little bit of a tangent here, but some people think boundaries are manipulation and they're not. So if you're making healthy boundaries to protect a relationship, you might feel like, oh, I'm punishing my spouse if I ask where they were after work, or I'm punishing them if I say, no, I'm not comfortable with you going out here or there or whatever, right? And so that's very different because you're not doing this with no regard for how they feel or what's, it's just a different situation. So I hope that that's clear to those that are listening, that boundaries are not manipulation. Boundaries are something that we need to do to bridge a gap to allow a relationship to heal. Does that make sense? Mark, any thoughts on that?
I'm chuckling a little bit inside up because I was like, sometimes boundaries can be manipulation. I would absolutely agree with you. When handled correctly, boundaries are not manipulation. And this is something I always talk about with clients, you know, and if we're having to discuss boundaries, how to go about it correctly, that it's not punishment. You know, this is how I always describe boundaries. It's how you meet your own needs when your partner is not really willing to negotiate with you. And so it's much more about like, what do I need? What am I going to do to be healthy? Not what do I do to make my partner do what I want? How do I punish them? How do I make sure that they, you know, maybe we have a line, but like, what am I going to do to them if they cross this line? Maybe that's a discussion, but that's not the point of the boundary.
Right. Right. It's more about protecting self than getting the other person to change or forcing them to do something.
No.
So I want to paint the picture here with you guys. So let's just agree that there's probably some level of unhealthy manipulation in most of our relationships. And maybe it's minor or maybe it's really severe. But I want to paint the picture here about where your relationship can be when we heal those more unhealthy levels of manipulation. And as we have clear agreements, what can that really create for you? So Mark, if we were to take someone where they are now and say, you know, 3 or 4 months down the road, now they're able to have clear agreements, what does that actually look like? Let's help paint the picture for someone, what the relationship can really be like and feel like when they do that.
So this is, you know, Heather, you'd mentioned like some milestones we look at. This was like early in the podcast, part of the discussion. And this is something I will typically look for as like, is when is there some free ability to discuss feedback and requests and whatnot? And almost, you know, when we hit this point with clients, they're like, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden we're able to talk. And my partner is saying that things are really different, that I feel heard now. Sometimes we still have barriers at that point where they're like, I'm not sure if I can trust that these awesome changes are going to last. And that's something else that needs to be addressed. But very frequently, we can at least get to that point where they're like, hey, this feels very different. And what I hear reported from clients is they're like, I can go and say, I would like to have a discussion about these things that we previously had no ability to talk about. And my partner's saying, yes, yeah, I'll have that discussion with you. Mm-hmm. You know, if we take it even further, I know that as Jennifer, my wife and I have really started to implement this, the arguments that we might have tend to be shorter. They tend to be less, you know, not that we were very volatile, but they're less volatile. And that ultimately we feel like we're resolving more things in recent years as we've implemented this. rather than, you know, coming to a standstill. So like because of this, I feel like my relationship with Jennifer is very, very healthy. Like, I'm very proud of the state of my relationship, and I don't mind sharing that with people because it's a thing to be proud of. And I think that most people have an ability to reach a state like this in their relationship. What about you, Heather? I don't know.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels freeing. It feels secure. It feels like, okay, when there's going to be bumps in the road, because there always will be, we'll have ability to work through that in a way that feels good to both of us. I no longer have to worry about him not meeting my needs or feeling alone or feeling, you know, any of that, feeling shut out, that we can feel safe and secure. The tension, the volatility is all reduced. Arguments reduced. Resentment gone, right? Reduced. And then there's no longer that need for unhealthy behaviors like manipulation. You have only the need to come together to give and receive feedback, and it's a beautiful place to be. So if you're saying, yes, I would love to have that in my marriage in the next few months, then we can absolutely help you get there, most likely, but we need to find out. So to be able to find out, I encourage you guys to book a marriage checkup call with us. This is where we can do a checkup to see where your relationship is at right now. And just like I said, if you're in the bottle, you can't read the label. So we are there to read the label for you and see what is possible for you in your relationship so that you can experience no more tension, no more need for manipulation. And you can feel like your needs are both being met. And that feels so satisfying and so fulfilling. So you can get that marriage checkup call over at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. highthrivecoaching.com/apply. We do have a pretty full calendar. I said this last several weeks, but it's true. This time of year, more people actually tend to get divorced, and there's more situations that are going on. And so our calendar is pretty full. So I encourage you guys to book quickly so that, you know, at the beginning of this new year, you can say you have a completely new relationship. And like Mark said, you can say everything's different now, and it feels really, really good. All right, now let's go into our marriage mythbuster. This one is, you always split everything evenly. Everything in my marriage needs to be split 50-50. Everything in my marriage should be a 50-50 split. Mark, let's talk about that and how it has to do with clear agreements as well.
I think this kind of idea is related to some specific problems within a relationship. Sometimes it's called scorekeeping, or sometimes we might describe it as like a tit for tat. And if there is this idea of, okay, we need to make things even, and there's an emphasis on that, my perception is that doesn't tend to go well, because, you know, like, here we are, we're speaking of clear agreements directly relates to this. And like I said, if people are holding on to this idea that things should always be equal in all regards, it will cause problems. If you're trying to say chores should be equal, financial contribution should be equal, effort towards the relationship, et cetera, maybe on the short term, very short term, it's possible. In the long term, I have no confidence saying that it's possible, mm-hmm. At least consistently. Most every relationship that I am aware of is going to have some ebb and flow. That, you know, that's one thing. But even they're all going to have high and low points. But even beyond that, I notice that most every couple, everyone kind of brings in their own personal strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, everyone kind of needs some extra support in certain areas. You might, like, I really appreciate my wife's ability to be very spontaneous and very open and very accepting of people. And I kind of realized that being very open and flexible and accepting and, you know, really being able to listen to anyone, even if they disagree. Also, you know, the flip side of that is sometimes, and this goes for me too, like, we're not a super organized couple. We just realized, like, hey, there are sometimes some extra support is needed in terms of being a little bit more structured and being, having clear expectations in the relationship. It's just, we have strengths and weaknesses. And so if you're saying, okay, this needs to be equal and this needs to be, like, everything needs to be equal, doesn't account for that individuality. And, you know, oftentimes the reason why we are attracted to that partner in the first place. Like I said, I think, you know, in my relationship, I am 100% confident in my ability to be a safe place for my wife to share emotions, to be very open with me. I very, you know, confident, like I'm this rock, this safe harbor for that. It's a strength I provide. I also know that I have shortcomings that I need support from my wife. That's not an equal relationship in those areas. That's just the facts. And the important piece here is whether things feel balanced and whether there's room for feedback when they do not feel balanced. In my opinion, if these things are in place, then it's really less important how exactly balanced the relationship actually is. And that's the truth of things, in my opinion.
Agreed. Having gone through role reversals, through cancer, and not being able to give, you know, maybe even more than 1 or 2% into the relationship at a time, I can attest that this is absolute myth. Your relationship can be beautiful and strong even when both partners are able to give equally. All right, so next week we're going to be talking about money issues in marriage, specifically about fighting and tension about money. So thank you so much, Mark, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.